Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. But every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. I'm your host, Reverend Ray. Amen. Today's broadcast is the bread of life. Amen. I'm excited to be with you today. We got a couple things going on. We're about to get started in a few minutes. Want to say awesome and happy Resurrection Day. Amen. A day that has set aside, the world has set aside for us. The day that Christ rose from has been risen. Amen. And we want to thank Reverend Robin for joining us. Amen. And what we're going to do is continue on with part two is about the love of God. Amen. So, Reverend Robin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Reverend Ray.
Awesome.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Doing well. So, yeah, well, before we do that, we can go ahead and do our normal thing about the upcoming broadcasts that are coming up, starting with History Bound in Grace with Vanessa Williams, will take place on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finchbrook Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and friends is on Fridays at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life for Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday, amen, of the month at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcast are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones, amen, is every first Monday at 7 p.m. In fact, there's a broadcast on tomorrow, amen, at 7 p.m. Amen. The Bold and Beautiful, Reverend Novena Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Sunday, every second Saturday at 7, at 10 a.m. Man, I got this all wrong. Okay. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of Wine, and Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Our three Real Life Real Talk with Ray Rose, Aston Green, Cleophas Malone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And Midday Glory Prayer, Reverend Gwen Dixon is every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. That's his code is 732-499. I'm asking you to go and check out our website or whenchristianspeak.com. And please, by all means, continue to like us on our Facebook page of When Christians Speak. Okay. Amen. And what we're going to do right now, we're going to turn it over to Reverend Robin. He's going to talk a little bit more about Resurrection Day and what took place and whatever the Lord has given her. All of this ties into how God so loved us, that he was willing to give his son, to sacrifice his son for our life. So we could just, at this time, just turn everything over to her. Reverend Robin.
Bless the Lord and happy Resurrection Sunday to everyone. What a marvelous day this is for all mankind. So before we get started, why don't we just open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, Lord God, with praises and thanksgiving and gratefulness, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for that great sacrifice of your Son, Lord, that we may live, Lord. So we come right now in the name of Christ Jesus, and we ask if we have missed it in any place, thought, deed, action, secret thoughts, presumptuous sin, straight rebellion unto you, Lord God, we ask that you forgive us. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are a forgiving God, and you forgive as far as the east is from the west. And Father, we ask that you not stop there with forgiveness, but Father, you would come in and that you would cleanse and purge us of all right unrighteousness, that you will go to the deep recesses, Lord God, and remove all of the blemishes, Lord God, that may exist, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord God, and we hold you, and we avow you for your word, Lord, that you would place in our hearts and in our minds, Lord, your laws and statute, and there will be a causation of a walk within us. So, Father, we thank you. And we know, Lord, that all of this is possible just because of the successful death of Jesus and his resurrection. So, Father, we just thank you on this day. We are grateful, Lord God. If we had 1,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough for that marvelous work that you did for us, for the love that you commended towards us, Lord, that you did not, Lord, in the triune God, move back from the work that you began to walk out, but you took it all the way to the cross. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we come right now, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus. Father, I come and move myself out so as not to alter the purity of your word. I pray, Lord God, that this message and this word that is the straight word of you will go forth and encourage, will bless, will give hope and encouragement to mankind, Lord. So, Father, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you. I decrease that you may increase. Father, you know all who will ever listen, and I pray that you, Lord, by your Spirit will attach to these words and go into the inner of man and make a change. It is in Christ Jesus' name that I pray and say amen and amen. Well, everyone, we are celebrating Resurrection Sunday, but in all actuality, we should celebrate the resurrection and acknowledge it on every day because it has made a great, great, great impact upon our lives. You know, over the past week, we have moved through this very important and significant time of remembrance and gratefulness of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in every man's life, and that man knows it. You know, whether man knows it or not, you may not know Jesus and you may not know any of this, but a marvelous work has been done for you. And we just pray in the name of Christ Jesus that God will call you nigh unto him and save you, because we know, because the scripture tells us, we love God because he first loved us. He comes to us. We don't come to him, but he beckons us unto him. It is saying that if he knocks upon your heart, do not ignore that knock, but go to it and open the door and let him in. You know, over the past week and what we've gone through, we've gone through Palm Sunday on last week when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey and was greeted with Hosanna. Hosanna means save us, rescue us. Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. You know, at that time, it was throwing down palm trees. They were just praising him, and they were worshiping him, and they were having adoration unto him, and they loved his coming, but they didn't understand. They did not understand that he was coming for a work that was much greater than what they have in anticipation for. He wasn't coming just to throw down Caesar or to throw down the Roman control. He was coming to throw down and destroy death, that death cannot have any more control over us. So, you know, as things go and they didn't see him come in and just begin a kingdom, it began to change, you know. Jesus was betrayed and he was by Judas and he was taken into custody. And then all of a sudden it went from Hosanna, Hosanna. Then the cry changed to crucify, crucify him in a matter of days. Isn't that something? We talked on Friday about the love of God. But isn't that like man? But we said that's not how God is. But isn't that like man? How men would just change on you, come from a place of adoring you and loving you and thinking you're the best thing since sliced bread and apple pie, and then all of a sudden, in no time at all, will begin to cry out, crucify, crucify. Oh, how marvelous it is to know the love of God, that God will not change on us like man will. So we just bless God because they took Jesus and they denied him, they scourged him, they beat him, they mocked him. And this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the great I Am. This is one of the triune gods. And they treated him like that. It said when in the beginning of John that he came unto his people, but they did. They preferred darkness more than they preferred the light. You know, even though he was truly coming to save and to rescue, but because it wasn't the way in which they wanted it to be, as far as the people and for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were just jealous because their position, which they never actually had, but they placed themselves, was being usurped. And even as they went forth and they crucified him, they were still usurped because they are mere man and they have no power nor authority. And Jesus had already told them that they were hypocrites. So they had no power. And the fact that he condemned them and the fact that he exposed them made them even the more want to get rid of him, because that meant that their position in their high places was being destroyed. And so they wanted to destroy him just to keep that lofty position. It was pride. It was greed. It was feeling their own selfish lust for control and to be able to rule over people. But God, no matter how they may have come and said, crucified him, and they did on Good Friday, they crucified him. But if they only knew that their crucifying him was bringing on such a power, they would never have crucified him. They crucified him, and the gospel of Jesus Christ spread like wildfire. Oh, my goodness, had they only known, had they only known that he came forth to save man for real, you know, and it was something else that on that cross, you know. And I know this is Resurrection Sunday, and for all of us who have attended services today, we have heard about the resurrection, and we've heard the resurrection message, but you know what? We can't hear it enough. We need to have it in down within our soul. The resurrection and how much it means and how important it is to our lives. The Resurrection Sunday. And it said here, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and before he gave everything up, he says unto God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, and when I read that and when I think about that, that Jesus was forsaken, you know, it is just the love of God that I feel shed abroad in my heart. You see, because Jesus had those moments of forsakenness so that we would never be forsaken. He says that I would never leave you, nor would I forsake you. And that became possible because he endured those moments of separation from God. Can you imagine one of the triune God having to experience time when he is separated, not attached? Can you imagine how he felt in that place? But he came to experience everything that man has experienced. And we have experienced until his death, burial, and resurrection the forsakenness, that emptiness, that void, that place where you're just lost. He had never experienced that because he had said so many times, the Father and I are one. I do nothing without the Father. But during that time, he had to experience everything on behalf of mankind. He had to take on all of our sin. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My heart can just break for Jesus as he had that time where he was forsaken. I mean, put yourself as best as we can as finite, natural man in his shoe on that cross, one who spent hours separating himself and having conversation with God, one who spent all of his time of not saying or doing anything unless he's led by God, to have that time of forsakenness, to have that time of truly experiencing the lost state of man, which is what he came to rectify. And it came to the point that he said, it is finished. The work has been done, and it is finished. Jesus died on that cross. He went there, even after in the Garden of Gethsemane, bleeding and out those great drops of blood, and his just ended up saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And he walked it all the way out for you and for me, that we may have life, that we would not be forsaken, that we would be able to reconcile, that a relationship with God would be restored. Great a love is that, that God wants to see us whole. He doesn't want to see us as broken men, that he doesn't want us to be seen anymore less than what he created. He created us, and we are body, soul, and spirit. But God, he wanted us to be whole. He wants to be able to commune with us and to have relationship with us. He said in John 3:16, and we went on this on Friday, that he wants none to perish. None to perish. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. We thank God because Jesus has risen. He has risen, and that is a blessed thing, that he has risen. In 1 Corinthians 15, it reads, and I'm going to begin at verse 2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, and this is Paul speaking, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scripture. And we know that the Scripture is infallible. We know that it is the inspired Word of God. And we know that everything in the Scripture shall be fulfilled, and it shall not fall short, that there will be no falling aside of the Word of God. And we thank you, and we just thank God that it is a sure place upon which we can stand. It is a sure place. It won't fade away from upon of us. It won't give out upon of us. It is a solid rock upon which we can stand, upon which we can place our trust, upon which we can place our hope. It is a sure place that we can cast all our burdens upon it, no matter how heavy it is. It won't crack. It won't move. It won't budge. But it will come forth, and it will nourish us, and it will encourage us, and it will keep us. It will keep us moving on and just moving on. I'm going to go down to verse 11. It says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins. But you know what? You know what? My sisters and brother, our faith is not in vain because Jesus Christ is risen. And because he is risen, our sins are removed far away from us, far away from us. You know, in verse 21, we're still over in Corinthians. It says, for since by man came death, by man came also resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Right there are shouting scriptures. Right there are hallelujah to the Most High. Those are places right there where we can just worship God. We can worship him, you know, because truly, you know, and I think sometimes when I look upon salvation and accepting Jesus Christ, that sometimes we interact with it I don't know how best to say it. It's like we don't interact with it, with the truth of what it is. Because we are sinners, or we were sinners, but Jesus has come forth and he's covered our sins. But we are not sinners because of how sin manifests in our lives. We are sinners because of Adam. We were born into sin without having done anything. We were born into sin. And that's all because of the actions and rebellion of Adam. Because it says, it's for since by man came death. Since by man came death. And that was by Adam. We went into death. Just born dead, for real. Because we didn't have the Holy Spirit. We were not the creation that God had created. You know, and when he came, in Genesis 2, 16 and 17, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He didn't say that he may die. He says, thou will surely die. You see, although Adam physically and naturally continued to live, he was dead. And that is how we are born in the world. We are born into the world, physically able to move and to do and to breathe, but yet we are dead. We're not alive. We are not alive as the creation that God has made. You see, and that's what Jesus came forth to remedy. You see, because we are not alive without Christ. We're just living. We're just living a life, but we're not living to the fullness of our creation. We are dead and we are separated from God. But Jesus Christ, who came in to make a difference in us. You know, it is what happened to Adam is the very death of man. And it fell upon all mankind. And if you look at the scripture, it says from Adam to Moses, they all died. They all died without any way of reconciling unto God, without any way of reconciling back unto life. They all died. You know? But Jesus came to resurrect man from death, to bring us back to life, you know? And when you look at it, it is, you know, we saw what Jesus had to go through. We saw his suffering. We saw his pain. We saw his humiliation. We saw the shedding of his blood, because blood has to be shed for sin. There has to be a sacrifice for sin. And that was experienced right in the garden. God did that. The first sacrifice happened in the garden. You know, when the glory of God, and I tell you, that's a whole nother teaching, the glory of God left Adam. You see, Adam walked around in that garden full of glory and splendor, having no connection to knowing that he was flesh and that he was a natural man. He had no connection. He had nothing. He knew nothing about it. He knew nothing but the glory of God that was upon him. You know, and so after he, you know, when that glory departed from him and that knowledge of good and evil, that knowledge of that flesh nature came crashing down upon him, Adam tried to cover that nakedness with figs. I mean, you talking about knowing that you shouldn't do something, and then you do something, and immediately after you do something, everything just break loose. Everything just occurs. You get to see the fullness of it. You get to see the fullness of the era. Can you imagine? We can't even begin to imagine what Adam experienced when that death immediately happened unto him, when he was immediately separated from God, when he was immediately knew that that glory that he once had was gone. Can you imagine? And then you look down and you see your nakedness, you see your filth, you begin to experience all sorts of emotions that you haven't experienced before. Shame, guilt, began to get fig leaves, and you cover yourself up, and, you know, you began to have blame, because then, you know, he went to blame and Eve, and, you know, all of these things he had never experienced before. But they came crashing down on him in a manifold way, you know, and Adam, you know, and God, we all know the story. God is like, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you? You know, but it came to the point, and, you know, he says, I was hid because I was afraid I was naked. You know, God already knew he had eaten because he had already taken his glory away from him. You know, but God clothed him, covered Adam's nakedness, which was the evidence of his sin that we could see, with coats of skin. So that means if he covered him with coats of skin, that means some animal had to die to cover Adam's sin. But it was not enough that it could restore him back unto God. Just like all of the Levitical sacrifices and all of those things that were done, they were never good enough to restore man back unto God. They were never good enough to change man. They never were. But it was just a temporary thing. You know, Adam's covering was just a temporary thing. And it did not remove the sting of death. But God, aren't we blessed and highly favored to have God? But God, you know, just as he had proclaimed in Genesis 3:15, Jesus came forth and triumphed over death. You know, just as God had said he would, just as he proclaimed and decreed in Genesis 3:15, God slow walked that thing all the way through all of those generations, all of showing God and showing himself through the Old Testament, through the Levitical priesthood, through the kings and through the judges and through the prophets, all that time. He was slowly revealing and unveiling, showing himself, showing all of that was symbolic of Jesus' coming. All of that was to build upon his coming, to come in and reconcile man unto God. All of it was a reflection of Jesus. All of it was a reflection of the work that would be, it is finished. See, God is a precise God. He comes when he does it, it is fully done. So we just thank God and we bless God because we have Jesus, and Jesus is the resurrection. And you know what? He's a resurrection. He resurrects us from death. He comes in and he destroys the sting of sin in our lives. And he just comes in and he resurrects us, because he is the resurrection. And he resurrects us back to that place of being that creation that God had created. No longer just a two-part person of soul and body, but now we are resurrected and we have the ability now to believe on Jesus Christ and not only be saved and rescued, but also have the opportunity to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to have to be reborn again in that spirit that was quenched, that was closed off, that God just shut down immediately. But now, because Jesus is the resurrection of death, we are able to go in and we're able to experience. I mean, there are some scriptures in the Bible that are just so rewarding. I don't mean so just mind-altering and just so fulfilling. You know, when he says that I must go expediently away so that I can send you that comforter. You see, he didn't say, you know, it may have seemed like it was a slow walk that he was doing to the cross and, you know, that he was struggling with the cross, but he said he was going expediently. You know, when Pilate came and says, don't you know I have the power of life and death? He says, you can have no power unless it was given unto you from above. You know, he basically said, come on, let's get on with this. There's a work that has to be completed, and I'm going to complete my work. You don't take my life. I'm giving my life up. I'm giving my life up for the people, for mankind. That's who I'm giving my life up so I can resurrect them. I'm giving my life up because what God has and I have created in the Holy Spirit, that it can be whole. It can be our creation again, that we can be able to have relationship with them. We can be able to be reconciled. We can be able to commune with them. I mean, that they can once again be planted in me and be surrendered unto us and be submitted unto us, that it be not their will as it was for Adam in the garden when he was like, they decided, they looked at it, oh, it's good, it looks good, it's probably good to taste, oh, it's going to give us knowledge and wisdom, oh, let's eat and see. No. It is, but God, what do you want? God, what do you have as the way and for me? What would you have me to do, God? No longer that willful, I'm going to go and do it myself. But we are resurrected again. That, you know, and that as Jesus has said, he says, I want you to be one with me as I'm one with the Father, so we can all be one together. You know, we want to just be able to be like Jesus. I do nothing in and of myself. Nothing in and of myself. I seek God for all things. I ask him to be a lamp in the path, a light under my feet, leading, guiding, and directing me. I don't want to be willful in this life that has been resurrected. I give it back unto God. I don't want to be planted in that garden with Adam where it was a willful disobedience, but I want to be planted in that garden with Jesus where he says, not my will, but thy will be done. And then get up, brush yourself off, and walk in the will of God. Amen? You know, Jesus says in John 11:25, and he's talking to Martha. This is when Lazarus has died, and he's talking to Martha, you know, and he says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth, and we got this connection word right here, in me. Not in myself, not in my abilities, not in my knowledge, not in my money, not in my deductions, not in my pride. But he says that he that believeth in me, you know, we liveth and believeth in Christ Jesus, we shall never die. And he asked Martha, believest thou this? And I asked you, and I asked myself, I asked Reverend Ray, I asked everyone, believest thou this? That if you liveth and believest in Christ Jesus, you shall never die. He is the resurrection. He is life. He is the life giver. He came in and he destroyed death. He destroyed that thing of sin, which is death. He triumphed over it. And it is mightily revealed. In John 10, in verse 10, it says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Oh, my goodness. Don't y'all know that we have the best shepherd in the world? Don't you know that good shepherd left the 99 just to come and get you and to draw you nigh and to call you a co-heir with him, to call you into a personal relationship, to call you into love that is eternal, not this fake stuff that man has. And it was demonstrated as we just look over this past week. Hosanna! 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 A few days later, crucify, crucify, crucify. But in that man will love you one day and spit on you the next. That is man. Man would do that. But it is not God. God loved you so much, loved me so much, loved us so much, that he sent his only begotten son to die for us. His only begotten son. He loved us so much. You see, we don't have all the time. We could walk you all the way to Jesus, all the way to the cross, all the way from Genesis 3:15. We can walk Jesus all the way out. But it came that Jesus was born of a virgin. Man's blood could not even intermingle with this, because he wasn't going to have anything of man tainting his only begotten son. You see, because man is tainted, but not Jesus, pure, a sacrifice without spot or blemish, acceptable sacrifice, not animals, not bulls, not goats, but a pure blood, a pure sacrifice came and died for your sin. That we no longer have to be burdened down by our sin. We no longer have to be burdened down by being a sinner simply because you were born a sinner. But not so, and not any longer. Not any longer. We are not there. In 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to read this, 54 through 58. It says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That's a whole nother message that we could spend weeks on. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you have labor, for much that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We have to remember that all of who we are is in Christ Jesus, in him. All of who we are. Our righteousness is not our own. Our righteousness is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We are not our own. We have been bought and purchased with a price. We have been redeemed. We have been restored. We have been reconciled. We have come to that place where death has no control of us, that we need not fear death, because you know what? We are in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is eternal. So we don't have to fear death. The sting of death, the fear of death has been taken away from all of those who believeth upon him. You see, and what we kind of, I kind of spoke on this on last Friday when he spoke to Peter about what Peter would do. But his questions to his disciples was, whom do men say that I am? And they went through seeing who men said that he was. But he says, but who do you say I am? See, it comes to that place where we have to know God for ourselves. We have to know Jesus for ourselves. And just as he asked Martha, believest thou this? Do you believe who I am? Do you believe that I came as the resurrection? You know, not just for us to raise up when we die, but no, it's so much bigger than that. I resurrected you back to the creation that the triune God created. I resurrected you back to a place of wholeness, of oneness, where you don't have to walk around in this earth not knowing who you are and not knowing where you belong, because you belong in Christ Jesus. I came to resurrect life in you. I came to resurrect you so that you can be the glory of God as you were intended to be. I come to resurrect you so that you can be reconciled, so that you can have communion, so that you can have God as your preeminent leader and guider, your source and your sustenance. I came to resurrect you for while you are here, you can have an abundant life. I came to resurrect you so that you would never feel forsaken ever again. I took all of that off to resurrect you unto life. And not just life now, but for life eternal. Believest thou this on this Resurrection Sunday? Do you believest thou this, that Jesus is the resurrection? Because Jesus is the resurrection, the life, the truth, and the way. And it's all in him. Amen, Reverend Ray, are you there? I haven't heard you.
Amen, my sister. I'm just listening to you, and I'm rejoicing with the words that are being spoken today on this Resurrection Day, on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen, he has risen. Amen, amen, he has risen. Some of the things that you were speaking, I'm beginning to speak to my heart and to understand that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day. It's not just one day of the year. It's good that the world recognized that he's risen. But look, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ every day, and we do that through the love of God. So thank you for that great and awesome message. Amen. Thank you for that great and awesome message. That was on time, and always on time, of course. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we got like a few minutes. There was a couple, while you was talking and listening to you, there was a couple things that I wanted to add, not add to it, but be part of it. Anything, and this is coming out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 through 15. And again, we are still talking about the cross. We're talking about resurrection, and we're talking about love. All this goes back to God so loved the world, you know. You know, for God so loved the world. It says, verse 10 says, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, ye are complete in him. That's the first thing I remember, Robert, that stuck out to me while he was talking. So we, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Okay, 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. But this is 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having small principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You know, so when you was talking about the resurrection of Christ and talking about that, I began to reflect on us and how that applies to us today. You said, ye are complete in him. We are complete in him, you know, because of Christ Jesus, because of resurrection, because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know, we can have that fellowship that we lost, that we lost with Adam and everything. We can have that now because of Christ Jesus. And we need to recognize this and continue to hold on to those things. Another scripture that I'm going to give it back over to you is coming out of Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, talking to us as believers, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That focus, in other words, should be on the things that are above. It should be Christ-centered. He said, set your affection on things above and not on the things of the earth. Okay? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Our life is hid with Christ in God. In God. Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross and everything he did, amen. Give me 1 second. Let's see what's going on. Everything he did, amen. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward toward that day to appear with him in glory. Okay? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. We're seeking those things. We're an ambassadors here. Okay, who is calling me? Amen. Man, seek those things of Christ. Okay, you are complete in him. You are complete in him. We are complete in him. The resurrection of Christ. You know, because the price that was paid just for you and me, the scripture says that God so loved the whole world. He's not singling anybody, the whole world. You know, but there's a requirement, as Reverend Rob was talking about earlier. There's a requirement in that with him. You know, that we got to seek after God. We got to seek after the things of God. Amen. Reverend Rob, I don't know what the I was telling somebody earlier, and I think I was talking to you earlier, that when you bring forth the word, there's a zeal in you that's come forth. And I thank God for the word of God that's in you. And it just begins to stir up something in others that are listening to you. So I want to encourage you to continue to do those things. But God is good. You know, I don't have anything to say. I just want everybody to enjoy this day. Count this word and apply it to your heart. Please spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He lives, y'all. He's no longer in the tomb. He's not even on the cross. For those that believe, have images and stuff of Jesus being on, ain't on the cross anymore. He has risen. He lives. And because of him being alive today, we have the gifting of the Holy Spirit that's in our life. Amen. We have the gifting of the Holy Spirit in our life. Amen and amen. Well, Reverend Robin, I got your text, but I'm going to give you the last word, and we'll go forward from anything else you want to add.
Well, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We just, right now, today, we just thank God for his tender loving mercies, that he would commend his love to us in such a powerful way in sending his only begotten son to die. You know, let's just make that personal. God, you love me that much. God, you love me that much that you would commend your love towards me. You know, and I kind of spoken about this with earlier today, but there is nothing like having the love of God shed abroad in your heart. When his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of his, you can't help but just be overwhelmed and excited. You know, no one would have to ask you, believest thou this? Because once he sheds such an immeasurable love in your heart, it is never, nothing like it. There is no place, no other place where you can go, where you can feel such wholeness, where you can feel like, wow, this is where I belong. Wow, I'm wanted. Wow, he really loves me. Wow, and at any time as you continue to walk, you can stop and bask in that. You can stop because he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So even in those times when we're going through difficult times, where we're going through trials, and where we're going through tribulations, all we have to do is go and have a tent meeting because he's there. He is there, and he is there. And once you just go and just sit, and just sit, and all you want to do is be covered in that presence of him and to be covered in that love. And although your circumstances, your trial, your situation may not change, you would be uplifted. You would be encouraged. You would be strengthened. Why is that? Because he commended his love to us in his son, Christ Jesus, so that we can be reconciled to that place of being one with him, of being able to connect with him, of being able to say, Abba, Father. And he say, yes, my child. God is awesome. He is awesome. He is our resurrection. He is our life. And we just thank God and we just bless him for it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Again, you've been listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This has been the Bread of Life, Reverend Ray and Reverend Robin White. Amen. We've continued part two of the love of God, but we also been talking about, because it's Resurrection Sunday, resurrection. Amen. He has risen. Amen. And the nothing shows forth the love that God has for us, or the love that Jesus Christ has for us, for what he did on the cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. I mean, that's just, oh, it's just wow, that he loved us just like that, or he loved us just that much. Amen. So, yeah, please do me a favor. Make sure you continue to share and go back and re-listen. You can listen to us on iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, on iTunes, Spreaker.com, Just to name a few of the different platforms. We broadcast on probably about 10 or 11, maybe more, different platforms. Amen. But spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, man. You know, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're about. Amen. So continue to enjoy the rest of your night. And we will continue to keep you in prayer wherever you are. Know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you because he loved you just like that. And that he wants you to have that relationship with him and the Father. Amen. So, Father, we come today. We thank you for the word that has gone forth. We thank you, God, for the encouragement. Lord Jesus, I'm knowing that you love us, that knowing that you went to the cross, Lord Jesus, knowing what was on the cross, knowing everything that was going to take place, but you went willingly, Lord Jesus, to be a sacrifice, to be the lamb, that you might come forth as the king and as the lion, Lord Jesus. And because you are the Son of the living God, we are grateful for what you did. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, for you dying on the cross for our sins this day. Allow us to know the true meaning of what it took and all the passion and everything that you had to go through, that we might not take it for granted, but continue to seek after the things of you, continue to believe in you, Lord Jesus. Continue, God, to press forward even in the midst of trials and tribulation and storms, and that we might go forth and continue, Lord Jesus, to spread the gospel of you through all the world, God, and all the lands, to tell a world that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is a Savior, that there is a one that restores hope, and that there is one that could restore what the locust and the grasshopper and the palmer and the cankerworm is eating, God. We will forever be grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We pray for those that don't know you, whether it be a spirit of witchcraft. We pray for revival to take place in their life, whether it be an atheist. We God, we pray that you will show them a more excellent way, God. Whether it be a backslider, you said that you married to the backsliders, Lord Jesus. And whether it be those that are called by your name, Lord Jesus, that have humbled themselves, that are seeking your face, even us, Lord Jesus. Revive us, God. Bring us back into right relationship with you, Lord Jesus, that we might serve you in the beauty of your holiness, that we might hear you say, well done, that you've been faithful over a few things. You know our private prayers that no one else know about except for you. So, God, we pray that you would come and tap us on the shoulder wherever we are and remind us of the price that was paid. Remind us and encourage us to stand still and see the salvation of you. Remind us and encourage us to hold on and to be strong and don't let go. And don't let go. We continue to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Reverend Robert, thanks again. Awesome word. Thank you for sharing the passion with us. Amen. Again, I want to tell everybody, be blessed. Keep us in prayer. Keep on keeping on. Keep on holding on. Amen. I'm not going to sing that song, but I believe it out for somebody else. keep holding on. God bless you. And we, for those, again, don't forget we have a broadcast on tomorrow. Amen. With Apostle Shirley Jones. So we'll see you then. God bless. Thanks again, Reverend Marvin. Take care. Amen.